It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown.
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible.
Over the point.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Y'all ready for this?
Thank God it's...
Here we go into a sports weekend, a holiday weekend, and the start of spring break for so many. It is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Adam Lundy. Don't forget to take us wherever you might be traveling this week. Yeah, we want to catch some sun, too. You can take us down to the beaches in Florida, out to Cali. Maybe you're going to, where else do people go for spring break? Isn't Florida about it?
Myrtle Beach.
Okay, if you go to Myrtle Beach, yeah, we'll hang with you out at Myrtle Beach. Just take us along. Make sure you've got the 1380 The Fan app on your mobile device because we are streaming live. We're also on a browser. You can find us at 1380thefan.com. We're worth taking along on your spring break. You don't want to miss what's happening in local sports back here in the region while you're down and soaking in some 80-degree temperatures somewhere.
Hey, I want to know, if you're going on spring break somewhere besides Florida or Myrtle Beach, let us know, 46862.
Yeah, I don't know what the popular destinations. When I was a kid, there was a certain collection of college students that went to Panama City Beach.
Yeah.
And,
I think that still happens.
And then it was Daytona Beach was a popular destination. That's kind of, I think, died out a little bit for the college crowd. Mm. I don't know if the families go there to Daytona. Clearwater, always popular.
Sure.
My wife tells me that Miami Beach and Fort Lauderdale had a lot of college kids there a couple of weeks ago. But where is the scene right now in spring break?
I have no idea.
Where's the family scene? Oh, you know, a lot of people might go down to Orlando area, maybe take in Disney.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
No, because you don't have kids. Been a while since you've been one.
No interest in the old Mickey Mouse.
But anyway, have you been to Disney?
I'll tell you what. I've been to Disney Sea in Tokyo, Japan.
Wow.
That's the only Disney park I've been to.
Okay. My grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Just before he passed, one of the things he wanted to really do, because they retired into Florida.
Yep.
And for about 3 years, they were building Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only going to be about a two-hour trip from where they lived. And he was like, I want the grandkids to come down. We're all going to go to Disney World. And so the year it opened, we got to go to the Magic Kingdom. Now, back then, they only had one park.
Right.
You know, it was the early stages, but I've been back a couple of times since. I've not probably had more than three trips to Disney World. And the last time I checked on going, I got sticker shock. Once they revived me, the doctors recommended that I not make the trip.
If I'm going down to Florida, I'm going to Busch Gardens. I like the roller coasters.
Ah.
Yeah.
My stepson went down there and went to Busch Gardens.
Love it. Yep. Oh, we got a texter. They're going to Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, okay. Going to go to the is that the Appalachian Mountains?
I believe so.
Smoky Mountains. Lookout Mountain is there.
Yeah, Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Yeah. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Now, I got a question. You know, you look at tonight's NCAA tournament. Last night, we had the upsets.
Yeah.
Okay, so you look at tonight's lineup. You've got NC State against Marquette. That's a hot NC State squad. Knocked off Oakland in their last game.
Poor Oakland.
Taking on Marquette. You got Gonzaga and Purdue. Duke, Houston, Creighton, Tennessee. Here's the question. In fact, Adam, I'm going to test your typing skills because we need to put a poll together, a short poll.
Okay.
and get it out on Twitter.
Okay.
We'll also let you answer the poll by texting us. And it's a quiet day on the text line, as you would expect, because a lot of people are not working.
No, I mean, it's
a lot of people have taken off out of the city.
Good Friday, spring break.
Traffic was no problem whatsoever this afternoon.
No,
getting
sir.
getting around the town.
All right, I'm ready for the poll.
Okay, well, who has the how do I want to put the wording?
Who has the greatest chance?
Who has
of
the
upsetting?
Greatest shot at an upset? Who's going to be tonight's best shot at an upset win?
Who has tonight's best shot at an upset win?
North Carolina State, Gonzaga, Duke. A lot of people will say Duke just because they're Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Or Creighton.
All right.
We'll put a poll out there, or you can give us your answer at 46862. But last night, of course, we had upsets based on seeding. Illinois beating Iowa State would be considered an upset because it was a 3-2. But of course, I don't think anybody can argue that Clemson beating Arizona was an upset last night. What was the other one we had last night? We had, the number one seed getting beat.
Yeah.
UNC losing to Alabama.
Alabama, you know, when those games, when they can get hot from shooting, it's going to be tough to beat them.
Well, and that's the thing. You beat Alabama by outscoring them because they can be very streaky offensively. They can run, you know, 11-12 against you in a row real quick. But what you've got to do is just consistently score against that defense.
Yep.
And that's what Purdue did in beating them. I mean, Purdue just kept scoring. And even Alabama's, what, they have 16, 17, 18 threes?
It was
20,
a lot of threes.
25 threes, I don't know. Whatever the number was, it was a high number.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't enough to beat Purdue because Purdue was just so consistent in just scoring with each possession, and the points per possession were so good for Purdue that day. They got that win over Alabama. Alabama advances, but who's got the best chance at the upset tonight?
All right, the poll is now up at 1380 The Fan on X, formerly known as Twitter. You can go ahead and vote there or text in 46862. Somebody texted the IU women for the upset. So.
Oh, man, they got a lot of faith because IU women take on a team that many regard as one of the most powerful women's basketball teams in perhaps history.
There's the tip.
Isn't it interesting how far the women's game has come? Because we've got star power now in women's basketball. Women's college basketball does have star power. Caitlin Clark. A lot of people learned the name Caitlin Clark over the last year or two.
Oh, yeah.
Juju Watkins.
Yep.
I mean, a freshman, but all of a sudden she has become a star, especially on the West Coast out at USC where she's out of Los Angeles. And, Indiana got the first bucket of the game.
Hey.
Oh, no, they didn't. It's the second bucket.
Ah.
I just looked up, and I saw the tip, and I looked up and saw Indiana scoring. But, no, they'd already given up a three. And they've given up another three, it's a quick 6-2 game. But, anyway, Juju Watkins has got some star power. Angel Reese, of course, people know.
Oh, yeah.
Hannah Hidalgo at Notre Dame. Who, by the way, today, Notre Dame falls to Oregon State 70-65. That's not the big story. The big story is that in the first half, after all season, she played with the nose ring. The officials made her take out the nose ring.
And by take out, we mean rip out.
Oh, that becomes, it's almost like removing a bone from your body. It's like, wait a minute, they got an extra bone in their hand that we need you to remove here during the first half. The trainers had to bring out these metal cutters. It looked like the jaws of life that they were
cutters,
working on. The bolt cutters that they were working on her nose during the first half while she sat on the bench.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but Cameron Brink at Stanford still alive in this tournament.
Yep.
Paige Beckers, of course, of UConn still alive. You know, I think, a year or two ago, the only name maybe anybody would have recognized is Paige Beckers in women's college basketball. Now there's like a whole litany of players. And they're all going to be playing this weekend, today and tomorrow.
A lot of fun basketball.
Hannah Hidalgo's done. Notre Dame gets beat.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens with the rest of them. Also tonight, the Purdue Fort Wayne women are in action at the Gates Center, 7 o'clock in the WNIT. It is the Super 16. They could be in the Elite Eight of the WNIT with a win tonight. And they get to play this game at home against St. Louis. They've got a good shot to win. Now, I'll tell you, here's the keys that if they can win, these are the keys of what will get them there. First of all, Purdue Fort Wayne wins because it's a home game. Okay, they're 13 and they're 12 and 2 mm-hmm. at home at the Gates Center this year. Now, they are 0-1 when they go to the Coliseum. This game's not at the Coliseum, but in the friendly confines of the Gates Center, they got a 12-2 record. Their only two losses were to the two teams above them in the Horizon League, Green Bay and Cleveland State. Purdue Fort Wayne loses because of turnovers. Mm. If they can't take care of the ball and they get sloppy and turn it over in a tight game against a good opponent, you don't get away with those mistakes. But Purdue Fort Wayne will win if they hit their three-pointers. One of the best three-point shooting teams in the entire country. They put that on display against Cincinnati. Shea Sellers has been one of the hottest three-point shooters you'll find in women's college basketball over the last month of the season. She's been hitting over 50% of her threes. If they hit the three-pointers, they're going to be tough to beat. But Purdue Fort Wayne could lose if they get into the trap of one-on-one play.
Mm.
Too many times they don't count on teammates and cutting and ball movement. They get it into the hands of someone who might go one-on-one and try to score individually. But Purdue Fort Wayne will win this game tonight if they allow less than 60 points. They've been a team that's really improved their defense. That's one noticeable change under Maria Marcassano. Is Stephen Asher, the assistant coach, who really specializes in defensive game planning, that this team has developed significantly on the defensive end, and they've improved their defense. They now have two options with a good man-to-man, and the zone that has shown improvement over the course of the last month of the season. But if they can shut down St. Louis, keep them under 60, I think St. Louis has to be at least in the 60s to win this game. And if they can keep them under 60, I think that Purdue Fort Wayne wins. But Purdue Fort Wayne could lose if they get into foul trouble. Remember, it was a short roster that's been dealt with injuries, and they don't have a lot of depth. And because of that, if they get into foul trouble, it could be a factor in the game tonight. And so Purdue Fort Wayne could lose if they have to deal with foul trouble and players not getting their regular minutes in the rotation. I will say this. I've watched, you know, Sydney Graber, former Homestead product, who plays now with Purdue Fort Wayne, watching her shoot free throws. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden it's like everything comes out of her hand like a line drive. She used to have such a beautiful, nice arcing free throw, and all of a sudden it's become very flat. She's been able to make it. That's one of those things with muscle memory, just being able to drop it in even though it's got a different arc. But she was so better at making it when she had that little arch at the free throw line. But she's been terrific this year. She, you know, if there's a comeback player of the year, she should get it. Last year, dealt with injuries and had a really tough season. Just was never herself. This year, I think she's gotten in better shape. She is playing more active and has been a real contributor for them as a backup big for the Mastodons women's program. So it should be a fun game, and I hope everybody gets out there to it tonight at the Gates Center. Mastodons and the Billikens.
Can't wait. I really hope they can win and get to the round of eight.
It's a battle of mascots tonight.
Ooh.
You know, a lot of people pick their brackets based on the mascots.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder who people, just the average public, would pick if all you told them was it's Mastodons versus Billikens.
Most people aren't going to know what a Billiken is, I think.
So you think the Mastodon gets it by default?
I think so.
Okay.
Hey, somebody texted in their spring break location, 46862. Yes. They're headed to Gulf Shores, Alabama.
You know, that's another popular one.
There you go.
I had somebody tell me, what was it, about 20 years ago? It would have been about 20 years ago. It was actually a person that for a company that I worked with, it was an international company, and they were based out of Birmingham, Alabama, and he was the general manager / vice president of our division. And his parents had a place in Gulf Shores, Alabama for 30 years,
mm-hmm.
right? And he told me, he said, that place is going to take off. And he said, if you ever want to get involved in you know, getting a summer or a vacation home, you ought to look at. And back then, it's like, it's Alabama. It's not Florida. It's not glamorous, you know.
But now.
Now it's like one of the places to go is Gulf Shores, Alabama.
There you go. Have fun.
It's an awesome place. All right, we got to take a break. Coming up on the other side, Greg Rakestraw is going to join us. Plenty to talk to Rake about.
Now back to the Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
After the week of travel that we've just experienced, I have more respect than ever for our next guest, who has somehow figured out how to stay busy and have a regular play-by-play schedule and never have to go more than an hour away from his home. Greg Rakestraw. How are you, Rake?
So I take it you were both in Tarleton, Texas and Norfolk, Virginia this week. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, actually, the funny part of that is I never ended up making it down to Texas. I was on the plane, and after a brief delay on the tarmac, we ended up having to deplane because of a mechanical issue, which meant my flight was not going to make it down to Dallas at the same time as the team flight, which was taking a route from Chicago to Dallas, and therefore I would not have transportation to Stephenville, Texas, to get to Tarleton State, which is 2 hours outside of Dallas, and I had to scrap that part of the trip. And, well, the rest of it's just a nightmare. Trying to get planes booked within 24 hours notice and put 22 people on a plane during spring break. Let me just say, Ryan Sims earned every penny that he made this week.
I just want to say this. I am thankful that the university made the attempt to fly the radio guy down on short notice, because that would be my concern. They said, hey, this is great. We're playing these postseason games. We're not taking Rumper with us. So yeah. I at least appreciate they wanted to take you along on the journey.
Oh, no, and I do greatly appreciate it. In fact, that was there was a little bit of a debate on whether I was going to make the trip, which is how I ended up actually on a different flight. But certainly when they won the game at Tarleton State, knew they were coming back to play the championship, they contacted me and said, hey, we want you to catch up with us. And so I flew from Fort Wayne. They flew from Dallas-Fort Worth. We met up in Norfolk, played the championship Wednesday night. The travel certainly showed up on the Dons in the second half. But about 3 a.m. last night, pulling back into campus after the trip. I shouldn't say last night, 3 a.m. this morning, pulling into campus. It was nice that the trip did come to an end. And so we're looking forward to next year with the Mastodon. Somebody else who might be looking forward to next year is the IUI Jaguars. Greg is the TV voice of the Jaguars and a guy that is very familiar with their next coach. Your thoughts on Paul Cassaro and the job he has ahead of him down with the Jaguars?
Well, my relationship with Paul dates back to him being the starting quarterback at Rodden County High School in the 2005 and 2006 seasons, because I covered him as a high school football player. Paul went to Youngstown State to play football, elected to come home, came back to UND and played both football and basketball. And frankly, just because of kind of the other talent in the football program at the time, frankly became more of a contributor in terms of basketball than he was as a football player, and went immediately from playing for Stan Gerard at UND in his early days there to being a graduate assistant coach and then an assistant coach. And then obviously that led him to a tenure at Purdue Fort Wayne with John Kaufman.
Yep.
The UND job opened right after the pandemic when Stan got the USI job. So Paul was able to come home and did a great job in 4 years there, led UND to the number one ranking in their region in Division II for two consecutive years, but really wanted to make the jump to Division I. And so obviously, you know, he's got a little one now at home, doesn't have to move his family, gets to stay at home where he's got so many friends, frankly, so many connections in terms of tickets, donors, marketing, sales. He was the absolute perfect person for the job, and he has already hit the ground running all of 5 days in.
Yeah, he's already kind of brought half his roster over, and one guy that we're familiar with up here, Jarvis Walker, who spent his freshman season as a Mastodon, is going to be part of the Jaguars this season. I think Paul's going to do terrific things down there in Indianapolis. You know, also when we talk about the Horizon League, and of course you host the podcast, and as I said, you cover the Jaguars, so you're very familiar with the league. Oakland getting the NCAA tournament win.
Yeah.
Now, not only does that help things financially in the Horizon League, but what does it do for the national reputation of the conference to have one of your members get a marquee win on a national stage like that?
Well, it's the first time the league has really had any positive traction in men's basketball since Butler left. Let's be blunt about it. You know, the league was there was one time, and this is, I want to say, back in either 96-97 or 97-98, where the Horizon League, what was known as the Midwestern Collegiate back then, was a three-bid league. You know, when Butler was just getting starting, thinking about, you know, kind of Perry Watson and Detroit Mercy, you know, when they would make the tournament on a regular basis, or UIC would make a tournament appearance. You know, the league, you know, kind of became a one-bid league. Occasionally you would see maybe both Wright State and Butler both make it. But it's become a one-bid league and kind of on the back end of seeds. That was not going to be the case this year if Oakland won the league tournament, which they did, because they had the best overall resume of anybody. But I thought the league took a significant step forward this year. I think it's been reflected by so many places getting their head coaching hire right. You know, Purdue-Fort Wayne is the obvious example of that. But Youngstown State got it right with Jared Calhoun. Wright State got it right with Scott Nagy. And I think now that he's moving on, I think Clint Sargent will do a really good job. I've known him for 15, 20 years. He played for Scott out at South Dakota State when, obviously, both IUPUI and IPFW were together in the Summit League at that time. So the coaching talent in this league has gotten better, which means the playing talent in the league has gotten better, which has mean the league as a whole has gotten better. So the metrics back that up during the regular season. The results in terms of Oakland and what the Dons did, getting a couple of wins in the CIT, kind of proved that as well. I think this is a league that, after being stuck in neutral or reverse for some time, now has momentum going in the proper direction.
Detroit Mercy still hasn't named a coach to replace Mike Davis. Anything that you hear on that front?
Nothing that I hear. I know who their three or four candidates are, but you and I have had this conversation. My concern at Detroit Mercy is much more about keeping the doors open than it is, you know, the status of whom their men's basketball coach is. That is obviously a program that has probably more historical significance mm-hmm. than any other in the Horizon League because of what that program was for decades. But the campus is not great. The campus is not in a great area. And if you look at their athletic programs across the board, you know, they are really struggling. You would look at that maybe at IUPUI. It has primarily been a more of a men's basketball issue. And their women's basketball team was down. But in other sports, IUPUI has made the transition to the Horizon League exceedingly well. That is not the case for Detroit Mercy. And so I know there are candidates out there. And again, I know there's, you know, it's a cool old barn to play in. And you've got a fertile recruiting base to recruit from in Detroit. But they've got some bigger issues as a school than just what the men's basketball hire is going to be.
Or speaking of facilities with great histories, you've got Hinkle Fieldhouse and Holman Center on the campus of Indiana State, where the Sycamores are making a statement in the NIT, making a run into the semifinals. Josh Hurts, a lot of rumors surrounding him. And I've heard both reports that he's a finalist and that maybe he has said no to a couple of places. What's the status? Number one, what about this run by the Sycamores? Number two, does their coach stay?
I don't think Josh is staying. I think Josh is going to St. Louis. I think there is a deal in place, and frankly, that's why he ended up saying no or could not take the job at the University of Louisville. I think Josh is St. Louis bound. I think that deal has been done for the course of the last couple of weeks. Now, in terms of their team, I love the fact that so many teams that feel they got jobbed and don't make the NCAA tournament either say no thank you to the NIT or go to the NIT, their mind's not on it, and they just kind of up and go away. And maybe Indiana State was in that boat, because you got to remember, against SMU, they were down double digits in that game, but rallied and found a way to win. Jason Kent was spectacular, 35 points and 9 rebounds in this game. But because of Indiana State's status as a mid-major and one that has struggled in terms of Missouri Valley, I do think that the NIT, the idea of, hey, SMU's in the ACC next year, and Minnesota is a Big Ten team, and Cincinnati's in the Big 12. And, hey, you know what? This great fan base that has awakened and love us again, they're going to all make the trip to Hinkle Fieldhouse. Brett, the championship game in the NIT is already sold out. And I don't think the semifinals are that far away from being sold out either. But trust me, the folks at Butler are giddy that Indiana State is playing in that event because they're going to pack the place on Tuesday. If they win, they're going to pack the place again on Thursday. So I want to credit Indiana State for taking advantage of the opportunity. Yes, they got the shaft. They absolutely should have been in the NCAA tournament, mm-hmm. but they couldn't change that. So what did they do? They had a chance to go win the NIT and keep getting these big boys to make them come to Terre Haute and continue to shine on a national stage. Good on Josh Schertz and those kids at Indiana State University.
The story kind of is a deja vu story for us because just a couple of weeks ago, we had a similar experience with Trine University. Now, yep. that was the national championship stage. But, you know, when you bid to host that event, you have no idea who will be the four teams. It just works out that one of them is local, and the fan base, the way they showed up in Fort Wayne, set an all-time attendance record. It was just an unbelievable environment and atmosphere and couldn't have been better for the NCAA Division III championships. All right, I do have to ask you about high school basketball. What do you got tomorrow? What are you working?
So I am doing the television for the 3A and 4A games. And again, a reminder, all games are online, pay-per-view, $15 to get you one game, $20 to get you the entire day, ihsaatv.org. I will have the evening session. So I have South Bend St. Joe versus Scottsburg and then Ben Davis and Fishers. And obviously for your local listeners, the local team of interest would be Canterbury playing in the 1A game against Bethesda Christian. Tip-off of that game is 10:30. Evening session starts at 6 o'clock.
And, of course, I will be there for that morning session. Do you know much about Bethesda Christian at all? I know 1A, you don't do a lot of coverage, but they are from that neck of the woods there in Brownsburg. What do you know about them? Anything at all?
They're really good. They have played a lot of 3A and 4A competition. They made it a point to go down and play in Lawrenceburg's big annual holiday event, which takes place right around New Year's Eve, and they ended up playing a lot of 3 and 4A teams. Like, for example, they played New Pal and competed with New Pal, who won a 4A sectional. And there was one result that got my attention, like the last week of the regular season. Heritage Christian, there's no Miles Colvin on Heritage Christian this year, but Heritage Christian is still a pretty good 3A team. Bethesda got him by 4 points, and I go, huh, okay. Yeah. That gets my attention. And they probably have one of the best wins in the postseason because that semi-state championship last week against Bar Reeve, they played that game 7 miles from Bar Reeve High School. That was a Bar Reeve home game in the Hatchet House for probably about 4,500 people that were none of them cheering for Bethesda Christian. Bethesda beat them by 20-plus. So Canterbury has a very good team they are playing tomorrow morning in that championship game.
I'll be there, and I'll slip out before I see you tomorrow afternoon, Greg. But enjoy it with the evening session. Hold down the fort well there in the state capitol, and we'll connect next time.
All right, sounds good, my friend. Take care.
Yep, that is Greg Rakestraw joining us here on the Sports Rush on the guest line. Of course, he's the voice of the IHSA Champions Network. And we will have coverage of the Canterbury Cavaliers and Bethesda Christian Patriots. That is tomorrow's state championship game at 1A. That game that Greg alluded to was Bethesda Christian beating Bar Reeve 63-38. And man. Bar Reeve is one of the state powers at the 1A level. Bethesda Christian's won every one of their tournament games by 11 or more by an average over their tournament run of 25.2 points per game. So they've been beating people up on this path to the state championship game. So tall task for Canterbury. The one thing that Canterbury does have is they can kind of match inch for inch the size of Bethesda Christian, who does have a 6'8". They've got a couple of 6'2", 6'3 guys, which if you look at Canterbury's roster, that matches up pretty well. Of course, Canterbury has Tucker Day at 6'8". But then they've got, you know, the 6'5", John Parent. They've got Dressler at 6'5". They got a couple guys at 6'2". So they can match up size-wise. But that's, from what I've seen with the statistics, the analytics, Bethesda Christian is very solid. And so the 23-7 Patriots against the 18-9 Cavaliers coming up tomorrow. Our broadcast time, approximately 10:30, right here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. We'll take a break. We'll come back. It is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Hoosiers are giving it a shot to try to stay in the zip code with South Carolina. I don't know, down by 8. Could be worse. In fact, it was just moments ago. But the Hoosiers, a couple of buckets back-to-back. They had closed it to 6. Now it's 8. And on a turnover, South Carolina gets the ball back. And that's been a problem because South Carolina is kind of scoring at will against the Hoosiers right now.
Yeah, they're banging down low and just getting layups kind of easily.
32-22. It's now back to a 10-point game. South Carolina leading it over Indiana. Notre Dame got beat earlier today. Hey, how about that?
Little 3-pointer.
Little 3-point action from Garzon. 32-25.
Let's go, Hoosiers.
But Notre Dame took one on the chin. They're out of the tournament. They got beat by Oregon State.
Yep.
Anna Hidalgo missed some significant time in the first half while they removed a nose ring. It's nose ring gate in the NCAA tournament. But anyway, it's a good day for both men and women. Purdue will be taking on Gonzaga. And, of course, we've got a poll up on X, Twitter.
Yeah.
We've got a poll asking who's got the best chance at the upset tonight. Of course, if you look at the schedule, you've got North Carolina State taking on Marquette. You've got Gonzaga going against Purdue. Duke will take their shot at number one seeded Houston. And Creighton will try to gun down the Tennessee Volunteers. And so out of those teams, who's got the best shot at the upset? And so far, Adam, they don't like Purdue.
Nope. Right now, Gonzaga is at 40%. That's the favorite for the upset pick. Second to them, Creighton, 30% of the voters. After that, Duke at 20%. And NC State, only 10% of the voters think that they have the best shot at the upset.
All right, so we've got our text line, 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. And somebody sent in that the Purdue Fort Wayne men's basketball team winning 23 games is great, but isn't making the NCAA tournament still the goal?
Do you think they meant Purdue Fort Wayne?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, okay.
I said Purdue Fort Wayne because the Boilermakers have won a lot more than 23, and the Mastodons have won exactly 23. So it was the Purdue Fort Wayne is what they meant to say. Purdue Fort Wayne men's basketball team winning 23 games is great, but isn't making the NCAA tournament still the goal? Yes, it is, and it will be every single year. That's the ultimate goal. That's what you play for.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in a one-bid league, that means out of 11 teams, only one is going to get that honor. Those percentages are greater than 90% against you every single season. But it is still the goal to be that one team that wins the ultimate prize. And playing in a tournament like the CIT doesn't necessarily replace that you still have a goal. I mean, the Dons have been in the CIT, what, 4 or 5 times? They've mm-hmm. been in the NIT. They've been in the CBI.
Mm-hmm.
They've been consistently in postseason play. But it doesn't mean anything less as far as their desire to be part of the NCAA tournament. And, you look at teams that take 20, 30, 40 years to try to get to the NCAA tournament. Stetson had been over 50 years.
Yep.
It's not an easy thing to do when you're in a one-bid league. You play in a conference like the Big Ten. If you have a nice run and finish somewhere in the top 6, you got a chance to make the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Indiana State this year. A great season. Fell just short in the championship game and didn't even get a bid to the NCAA tournament. That's how difficult it is for mid-majors. And so it's not an easy thing to do, but they're going to bring back 4 of their 5 starters, 7 of their top 8 players all return. Their primary rotational players will all be back. They've already got a sharp-shooting freshman coming in from Ohio. And who knows, maybe the portal will offer up a sharpshooter.
It's always possible.
A local kid.
Speaking of the transfer portal, we've got the latest player that's going to be visiting the Indiana Hoosiers It's Louisville transfer Brandon Huntley Hatfield. He'll take an official visit to Indiana. He averaged 12 and almost 13 points and 8.5 rebounds per game, and he's 6'10".
Now, I know Connor Assisian was scheduled to be down in Indiana today. Not sure if there's been any word on that. But Indiana did pick up a recruit for the class of 2024. This, of course, out of the high school recruiting, which you have to differentiate the two. But they do get a recruit, Bryson Tucker. He's a 6'6 wing that, according to scouting reports, he's more of a mid-range guy and a guy that can get to the basket. He's got a high basketball IQ, makes good decisions, can distribute, can finish, and can be a guy that can defend the one through the three effectively. So, you know, I don't know if that answers the Indiana prayers, because I think Indiana still needs outside shooting, and this is not the guy that's going to be your sharpshooter from the outside, but he is a five-star guy that gives them an elevation of talent coming in. He's, you know, he's kind of, to me, he's kind of the Jalen Hood-Schifino, maybe not quite as developed on the three-point shot, but to me, Jalen Hood-Schifino's best part of his game was the pull-up at the elbow, the 15 to 17 footer. You know, he hit threes, but sometimes when you're in the college game and you have all that time to be able to just shoot, 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 and shoot some more, and you've always got somebody to rebound and feed the ball to, you get more shots up. Maybe that's a part of his game that could develop. But right now, the significant contributions are going to be more in the mid-range, that 15 to 17 footer, and the pull-up in the paint, the teardrop, those kind of shots. For Bryson Tucker, you're studying one of the things that was on the text line too was we were talking about spring break and where the popular destinations are, where are people taking off to.
Yeah,
got a number of different answers. Gulf Shores we talked about, Chattanooga we talked about, Detroit, Michigan.
That's what I think of when I think of spring break.
Yeah, grab the swimsuit. We're heading to the shores of Lake Erie.
And I mean, I love Detroit, don't get me wrong, but it's just, I wouldn't expect it as a spring break.
No, wait a minute. I better check my geography. Is Detroit on Lake Erie?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
This is why we're in sports radio.
We've got five Great Lakes, and I picked one of the five, and I don't know if I'm right.
It is on Erie.
Okay, we'll take that.
It's like, it's got the river obviously right there, and it's the river between Lake St. Clair.
We got 50 and sunny. We're soaking in some rays in Detroit, Michigan next week.
We're going to watch the Tigers.
That would be one thing to do. Of course, Major League Baseball gets opened up, and Juan Soto is already making an impact with the Yankees. Had a game-saving play in the outfield.
Gunned him down at home.
Gunned him down on one bounce, a perfect throw to the plate. And the Yankees win their opener by a run. You also have the Cubs failing.
Yeah, extra innings.
Typical Cubs loss. but they're taking on Texas. That's a tough matchup for the Cubs.
Yeah.
And the Reds with a dominant win. But they're taking on the Nationals, so let's not make too much out of it. But the Reds are 1-0 and in first place in the National League Central.
You bet.
There's still a lot of season left.
Padres get the win over the Giants yesterday. Good stuff there.
Yeah, and it's great to see the lineup, the roster for the Padres.
Oh, yeah. It's the Tin Caps last season.
Well, there were no openings on that roster for Tin Caps players over the last couple of years because they had so many of the high-priced free agents they brought in. And this year, because they didn't sign the free agents, they let a couple of guys go, there were opportunities, and you see guys like Jackson Merrill and Graham Pauly, Camposano as the catcher. You know, you've got a number of guys that are having a chance. Pedro Avila, the pitcher.
Yep.
But anyway, it's great to see some of the names that we've seen here at Parkview Field in recent years getting their shot with the parent club. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. It's the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Just a little over 30 minutes away from our coverage of Purdue basketball tonight in the NCAA tournament as the number one seeded Boilermakers take on the Gonzaga Bulldogs. That tip expected to be just after 7:30. At 6:30, we join Rob Blackman and company for the pregame show on the Purdue Boilermakers radio network. Also coming up tomorrow morning, don't forget to join us for high school state championship boys basketball from Indianapolis as the Canterbury Cavaliers take on the Bethesda Christian Patriots. Game time just after 10:30. We'll be on the air about 10:30 tomorrow morning with your Class 1A state championship presented by Parkview Sports Medicine. Well, tonight at the Gate Center, the Mastodons women go for win number 24. Could get into the Elite Eight. Of course, I don't think they call it the Elite Eight. They call it the Great Eight in the WNIT. But the women playing for the Great Eight against the St. Louis Billikens at the Gate Center. Still time for you to come out and support the local D1 women's basketball program. Thanks to Greg Rakestraw, who joined us. Thanks to Derek Decker, who took the chair for the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday shows this week while I enjoyed my tour through the Virginia Norfolk country. That'll do it for us. Have a great weekend. Enjoy. We're back on Monday with the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.